And now I've got Kim Wesney, who was at the Dark Sky Conference in Tekapo about a month ago.
Starlight Conference.
Oh, Starlight Conference. You probably need to be slightly closer to the mic. Yeah, there you go.
G'day.
Lovely. So you went to this conference. Is it the first one that we've had in New Zealand?
There have been Starlight Conferences before. Yep. The theme of this one was towards Starlight Conference 2019, towards a Dark Sky Nation. Yeah, so that was, there were over 115 people attending, 10 keynote speakers from New Zealand and internationally, and over 52 talks, three chock-a-full days of information and sharing along the themes of light pollution, blue light, issues around the impact of light, LEDs, blue light, in particular the higher end of the spectrum on human health and the environment, wildlife, etc., astrotourism, and a whole bunch of stuff.
Oh, lovely. That sounds amazing. So what was the, I know that you've only in the last 2 or 3 years got really involved in this area, is that right? And you've got telescope or...
Dark Sky, yes. Stargazing and astronomy since I was a little thing.
Oh, really? Yeah, lovely. And I know I've had the chance to look through your telescope and see Saturn and the rings of Saturn, and it's just magic. And the cravat or the what do you call them on the face of the moon?
The craters.
The craters on the moon. Oh, yep. It's just beautiful.
While we're talking about that, we've got, of course, the Waiheke, the Walking Festival kicks off on Friday the 15th. So there's a public, there's a night walk, and that's all booked out. But there's public viewing with the telescopes. We're going to have a whole bunch of telescopes, binoculars, talks, and information there. And anyone comes along, they can have a look through the telescopes from about 8 o'clock onwards, crossing all fingers and toes that it's not going to be cloudy.
Oh, wow.
The moon will be in the moon will be quite bright, but you will be able to see a limb of it. So the craters should be pretty evident. But
magic.
Right, but we'll see.
Good.
See
okay, so tell us, what were your highlights from the conference?
Multiple highlights. it was amazing. One of the very reassuring and inspiring aspects of it was to be with such a group of experts around the world, from around the world and from New Zealand. There we've got a document here or an image of New Zealand being... with the Dark Sky accredited with International Dark Sky Association accredited dark sky places. There are strata within there. So you have the two islands, the dark sky sanctuaries. Rakiura's just got their accreditation. So now we have two dark sky sanctuary islands, which is amazing. Aotea Great Barrier and Rakiura Stewart Island. And then we've got the Gold Star Reserve, Araki Mackenzie. And Dark Sky Reserve there. So that's where the conference was in Tekapo. And then from there, we've got from the far north district through down to Rakiura with about 10, over 15 places that are aspiring as well, Waiheke being one of them.
Okay. Aside from sort of jumping on a bandwagon of, oh, dark skies, this is something else, why would you bother? Like, so what?
Because one of the reasons we are very lucky in New Zealand to have such dark skies, and we had a lot of people from the Northern Hemisphere. So in Europe, America, children grow up, they don't even see the stars. And they grow up in these highly lit areas. There are lots of dark sky places, of course, but, out in the middle of Australia or in the middle of Canada or lots of places like that, especially in New Zealand as well. We're very lucky with that. I think it's something that people take for granted. And once it's gone, it's gone. So with regards to preserving that for, it's half our environment, we live on the earth, but it's a shared environment. It's the whole other half. We've got the sea and the land, and then we've got the sky. And it's a common environment that we share. It's one sky, one people. And it's a relatively easy thing to be able to do, to preserve, to turn the lights down. We're not about turning lights off. People need lights, but it's the most effective way without causing more light pollution. And of course, with the advent of LED lights, we've got these incredibly efficient lights, but they're right into our human eyes only see a certain wavelength or strata of the whole you know, wave light.
Spectrum.
Light, yeah. So the blue light, the upper end, the 4K white lights, the street lights, and on your screens, on your phones, essentially the blue light is, there's more information, there's more studies coming out and evidence around the health impact of that. It's phenomenal. So that's a big issue.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So what are some of the health implications of blue light?
Okay. So we've got a, if you can look up, the Royal Society put out a paper called Blue Light Aotearoa. And also at the conference, when talking about one of the highlights, Sean Kane from Monash University in Melbourne gave a really interesting talk with some new, yet to be, they'll be published soon, but information around, he's a sleep and circadian medicine professor at Monash. And so he talks about how we do, you know, we're, in the old days, we need the light in the dark. We need our circadian rhythm set, the melatonin levels, hugely affected by ongoing exposure 24 hours in some places, especially in the Northern Hemisphere, to blue light and artificial light.
Mm. So is that an associate? You know, when people are going, oh, is this blue light or not blue light? How would you know?
It's pretty bright, white. So you, if you think of something warming up, you know, like a fire, or you see the yellow light and it goes through yellow, orange, white, it's getting hotter, essentially. And so they, that's that, the radiation from that, you know, electromagnetically, or the light aspect of it all, is fundamentally affecting us all the time.
Okay. So is that sort of the difference between the sort of, you know, I think you can get like warm white and cool white light bulbs. Yeah. So would you be suggesting that you'd avoid cool white as a light bulb, or certainly in your bedroom? Or
definitely. Yeah, definitely. There's an amazing dad who presented at the conference, Damien McNamara from Dunedin. He has he was one of the speakers and gave a personal talk around his journey with his son Ruben. So Ruben's story is, as you may have seen in the, there's quite a bit of press about it at the moment, and on our Facebook pages and the website, you can see that. I've put links up to that around, and he's going to be, he's planning to tour the country with that story. Mm. So he,
so what
had,
was the story?
So his, in a nutshell, Ruben had a 4K street light streaming in his window at night. Remind me to tell you about that in a minute too, because we can do something about that very easily with a phone call. So, and his autistic behaviour escalated untold. And so
when, oh, I read that story.
Yeah, did
quite recently.
You probably saw it on the Facebook page, maybe.
Oh, it could be. Yeah,
I'll put a link to it. He's yeah. So he, and it was very moving, and backed up with evidence around that. So yeah. So those the
right, and it's also, I mean, for our island, it's also got an effect on some of the birds, yeah, hasn't it?
Bird life, shorebirds, seabirds, pollinators. Yeah, especially
pollinators. Yeah. Oh, what does that mean? I mean, I know what a pollinator is.
All the moths and there's one of the other keynote speakers, I'll talk about another highlight, was Dr. Karen Arthur from the Australian Department of Environment and Energy and from Canberra. So she presented on the National Light Pollution Guidelines for Wildlife in Australia. And so there are similar issues with regards to our wildlife here. And a lot of it is around education, because what we were talking about before, we just take it for granted and we don't really think about it, because that was a huge part of the conference, was getting the information out. There is a lot of information, and quite happy to talk about that at length around the place, but there's also a lot of information you can, anyone can access.
Well, you know, I met someone the other day, I can't remember who it was, but she'd worked with wildlife in Southeast Asia, and she said that the turtles were getting confused about which way to go because the sea is apparently lighter than the coast, and so the turtles, when there was a resort, the turtles were going towards the resort rather than going towards the sea. So they were tasked with standing on the beach and sort of chasing the turtles the other, or I think they were putting lights more on the seaside.
Yeah. So Karen Arthur is an expert in that area, because we don't have turtles in New Zealand. Well, we do, but they're not not the those turtles that we're talking about. So she spoke about the turtles. The proceedings of the
Oh, that's just Chris doing a bit of drilling. I don't know if you can hear that, or that's just us.
The proceedings of the conference will be coming out next year, published as a book.
Oh, wow.
As the previous conferences have. I've got one from a conference a few years back. Really interesting to see how things have... So I went to the very first Starlight Conference, when Tekapo got their accreditation. It was a festival. It was fantastic. It'd be great to be able to do something like that here. So back to the turtles. Yeah, the turtles come out, they're low, and the reflected moonlight on the sea is their beacon. Similarly with the shearwaters, petrels, they just fly around and around and around a streetlight. So the turtles go out and they have to go en masse to the sea, and they turn around and go the other way because all the beachside streetlights plus commercial properties got their lights on all night.
Right.
So they go around in circles sometimes.
Yeah.
So that's an issue, and there's a lot of documentation around that.
So what can we do living on Waiheke? Because it's not a question of turning lights off, is it? It's more just a question of directing lights or putting sensors on or directing them towards the ground so they're not shining up.
Yeah. So you'll see, I'm at the market once every 2 months when I get the chance to be there on a Saturday morning, and we've got some giveaways, just some really easy tips around that. Protecting the night sky starts with all of us. We can just use the light that we need, use energy efficient bulbs as bright as you need. So a big thing that came up at the conference was, and we've got a chart that goes out from like 2.7 up to 5K lights, the 5 being very bright white. And 3K has been reported as okay. In actual fact, there's a lot more evidence coming out now about 3K, the blue spectrum still being effective out of 3K lights. So 2.7 is what we're advocating now. There are a lot more efficient filters now, amber filters, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Timers, sensors, all those sorts of, and there was another highlight from the conference was this chap who lives in the gloom. It was very entertaining, but he has the lights dim all the time because our eyes, we're assailed with light all the time. Our eyes never get a chance to adjust to the dark as you get older too. It takes, when we're out with the red lights, when we're doing astronomy viewings and things, events like that, it takes 20 minutes at least. So if you're constantly assailed by light all the time, we never get a chance to adjust to the dark. And then you actually can see quite a bit. Depends. There's a great big moon in the sky. It's pretty bright too.
Yeah.
So there's a lot to learn. And it's one, as we've talked before, it's a really easy thing to do. And it's a fantastic thing to be able to do because it's quite empowering. We just turn the lights down, just be thoughtful about it. And
So can I just ask you about LED lights? Because I just noticed over the last 3 years in Auckland, there just seem to be more and more advertising panels in windows. The bus stops have now got, are now lit up in the central city. Yeah. You've got massive screens on the side of buildings that have replaced static billboards.
That's what it's like in the Northern Hemisphere. Cities that are, and I posted an article the other day about the astronauts up in the space station. You can see these pretty pictures of the northern hemisphere of the planet lit up at night. Phenomenal. And International Dark Sky Association, they're having their AGM right now, today. And we're following it on hashtag IDA AGM 2019. Fascinating. Yeah, that's the thing that's happening. So Auckland is the brightest city in the country. There's a lot of information going on about that, but of course we just keep making a noise about it. On Waiheke, there's the street lights, these new street lights, they are shielded. They've all got a little top knot on them, but because they rolled out as Central Auckland with Auckland Transport, if that angle does spill into your bedroom, your house, you ring them up and say, can you reduce that angle so it's lighting the road where it's meant to be and not spilling out further or into your public or private.
Okay, so street lights, we've got undertaking that that will shine downwards, and if you can see them as I can from the other side of the valley, then they're probably not set very well, and they could be changed.
They've done that quite quickly. Okay. But there is work around that. The status for the Waiheke's application at the moment is going ahead, and Waiheke's got a challenge because we're closest to Auckland, and it's particularly the western end. So the status that that the island's going for is the eastern end. It's IDA is very, and Auckland Transport and Council are very supportive about the eastern end going as Dark Sky Park and the western end going as Dark Sky Community. And that's actually really exciting because we're really close. On this map here with the other cities, you know, here's Waiheke, we're really close. And people say, oh, it's impossible. But no, it's not, because we do have that challenge. Mm. And it's a challenge to Auckland City as well.
And I guess it's a challenge to us as well, because I think often, you know, cafes, restaurants, businesses feel that they need to advertise themselves at night. And yet, in some ways, if you can create a point of difference which emphasises the environment and our place within it, that can be a point of difference that allows people to really enjoy the magic of the dark sky and allows us potentially also to extend some of that, you know, visitor offering, if that's important to allow people to do, you know, an evening.
Absolutely.
Have an evening experience that they wouldn't be able to have in Auckland, but they could come out here.
On a boat ride for 35 minutes. And hence the beginning of my talk was, imagine a boat ride over from the brightest city in New Zealand. You step off the ferry and it's subdued, it's dark, it's beautiful, and the stars are just there. Is it? So that's our challenge. Is it a good night here on Waiheke, or is it good night and goodbye to the night on Waiheke?
Lovely. So that, where can we hear challenge. Your talk?
Well, I'm happy to do it. I'm going to be speaking at Forest and Bird.
Terrific.
And the,
yes, I've just Sustainability to say that Centre. She'll come and do that. That will be amazing. Very so look happy. Out for that event.
Yeah. Very happy to give this talk if anyone's interested. Yes. Because it's 15 minutes.
Good. And so it's about what we can do, or what does it focus on?
So it's the focus on what's been done on Waiheke up till now, what we can do, and evidence around that, and the status of where to from now.
Lovely.
Yep.
Okay.
Well, and there's a really cool little sign here that Rakura has just got, and I grabbed it and did some, and I spoke to Rakura people as well because they were there.
Oh, lovely.
We had a love.
Can you describe the picture? What is it?
Well, it's similar to the Aotea Great Barriers. It's welcome to, and I've just put on Waiheke International Dark Sky Place. Be fantastic down on the wharf.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, if you get on the ferry to Aotea Great Barrier, there's a big sign saying, you know, you're going out to a dark sky sanctuary. And I've heard of a number of people who've thought, oh, you know, I really want to get out there and experience that.
It's amazing.
It's really beautiful, quite special. Yeah.
Because they're, what are they, 80 kilometres away. We've got light, we've done, there's a wonderful chart about the light effect from Auckland, all of New Zealand, see that. You can see clearly that barrier's just outside of that. Beautiful. And but the eastern end of Waiheke, it's very dark.
I know, and it's magic walking and driving in environments that are so dark. I really love it.
It's beautiful.
And I also think, you know, more of us have, practically everyone has a cell phone, so the chances of being stuck outside at night without light are almost zero.
Yeah, you've got a torch on your cell phone, or just take a torch like we used to.
Yeah, exactly.
What I was going to say too, with there's an apron when you get off the plane in Christchurch. There's a, and you get off one of those aprons and it's all dark. That because Araki McKenzie, Dark Sky Sanctuary, and so you're going through this tunnel of stars as you get off the plane in Christchurch.
Oh, really? Yeah. So they've set that up as their gateway off the plane into Christchurch. Oh, that sounds amazing.
Yeah. It's gorgeous.
Okay.
So, so that is a challenge and an opportunity.
Well, Kim, thanks so much. And just while you're here, have you got anything that you'd like to say about the art gallery? I know I didn't say that that's what we were going to talk about, but was there something, or did you have anything else you wanted to finish on
just
dark skies?
On this,
and then I know in your other role in the gallery, if you had a plug for anything, feel free.
Well, yes, we've got we've got the Walker and Hall Waiheke Art Award up at the moment. All three, and the shows are on until the 17th of November. And Mark Mitchell with the beautiful ceramic vessels in the small gallery, and David Trowell with his amazing glass works in the annex.
Oh, I really want to see that.
Yeah, it's beautiful, incredible. And we've got Marilyn Waring coming over.
Oh, yes. When's she coming?
So she's coming on Sunday, the 17th.
Okay,
yeah, the last day of the show. Of the shows, but okay. Things come down on the Monday. But yeah, that'll be really lively. Henemoa Elders going to be talking. They're going to be having a discussion.
Nice.
And then a book signing of her new book, The Political Years.
Okay, terrific.
Because the tickets are available at the gallery on the gallery website, and yeah, you can get your book beforehand and get it assigned.
Good. So, Dark Skies. Yes, I know that was an initiative we started on the last local board. Yeah. That thing being part of a dark sky something, whatever we can get, and before it's too late. And so now it seems to be that we're Dark Sky Park on the eastern side, Dark Sky Community on the western side, and so you're just working towards that, continuing to work towards that.
Yeah. The application's underway, and the lighting management plan aspect of it, working with AT in Auckland.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Great.
So that's the huge, that's the biggest nut of it, to get that consolidated.
Lovely.
And that's a long way along down the track. But of course it takes time, and we've got to do our bit in the interim.
Great.
All of us.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for coming in at short notice
to talk to us about that.
That's fabulous. Yeah. So that was Kim Wesney from...
Dark Sky Waiheke Island.
Dark Sky Waiheke Island. And we can find... You kept talking about somewhere we could see more articles or information.
Yeah,
we've got
a Facebook page.
Okay. Is that Dark Sky Waiheke Island?
There's a Dark Sky Waiheke Island Facebook page. There's also Dark Sky New Zealand. There's the Starlight Conference page as well, and anyone can get in touch with me if they want to go on the email list, but there's a lot of stuff that goes on the Facebook page.
Lovely.
But just anyone.
And what's your email?
Gamma Ray, GAMMARAY @extra.co.nz.
Okay.
And they can ring me too.
Lovely. Well, thanks so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Okay, cheers. So that was Kim Wesney from Dark Sky Waiheke talking about the different things we can do to do something to keep our dark skies dark, and also the conference in Tekapo.